Welcome to this episode of Real Christianity. My name is Dale Partridge, where each week I offer 15 to 20 minute answers to tough theological and pastoral questions. This is a 100% listener supported audio ministry of relearn.org. And for those who don't know, our mission at relearn.org is to educate and equip ordinary Christians to plant biblical, confessional, and missional house churches. For more information, just visit relearn.org/house. Welcome to Real Christianity. I'm your host, Dale Partridge. As many of you guys know, you can find the show notes for these episodes on our ministry's website at relearn.org. I am excited to have the new format of the podcast coming out soon. As many of you know that follow me along social media, I have been struggling with a Lyme disease flare-up and found out that I am also struggling with mold toxicity. Been struggling for years with chronic health issues ever really since I went into ministry. And we are in the throes of that right now, having a variety of different symptoms from as simple as fatigue to as far as seizures. And so I have been a little bit off on my production schedule. And you guys may have noticed that last week was the first week in about 3 years and 150 plus episodes that I missed an episode. And it was because we had a really hard week prior. But thank you guys for your patience and for your prayers. I am in the midst of really journaling a lot about my experience and journey. As you heard a few episodes ago, my hope is to write a book about chronic illness. And some of you guys have emailed me your stories, and thank you for that. But today, I'd like to talk to you about the position the Word of God has in the process of converting souls to the kingdom. And before we dive in, I just wanted to mention just a few things. One, if you guys are a regular listener to the show, I would ask you guys to prayerfully consider making a donation at relearn.org/donate. Those donations really do help us continue to do the work that we do here. We have a very small team, myself, my assistant, plus a few freelancers that are on retainer that help us to continue to produce really great biblical content that is edifying and fruitful for the church, as well as materials and programs such as our Ultimate Marriage Program or our Stand in Victory Program on breaking free from pornography, along with some of the new things that we're doing, books that we'd like to put out. And so those donations, they really do help us continue to further our ministry efforts. And the Lord has continued to provide for us since we started this ministry 4 years ago. And I know He will continue to do so. But you guys can make those donations of any amount. I mean, especially the ones of, you know, we have several, you know, maybe even 100 people that give, you know, $10 a month. And that is a great way to support this ministry because it offers us some stability and some consistency when people choose to give monthly like that. So you can do that at relearn.org/donate. As I said, I wanted to demonstrate the link between the Word of God and the conversion of souls. I think we have too many motivational speakers, religious showmen, charlatans that are peddling messages that are masquerading as sermons, or that they're preachers, but they're using a scriptureless gospel. They're TEDx talk speakers in a church format. And we've seen many of these throughout the Western church. And I think we are continuing to see them, shockingly, that people still run to these types of preachers. And the sad thing is that many people have were raised in these churches or have been to one of these churches. And I want to speak to that here shortly. But a lesson that I have learned over the years is that what you win people with is what you win people to. And when you win people with the gimmicks and the emotional experience the humanitarianism, the churchianity, the moralism. You've won them to those things. And if you've won them to the gospel, the Bible, and the covenant people of God, then you've won them to those things. And so our hope and my hope is to demonstrate what the scripture says about preaching the gospel. If you're out there and you'd like to faithfully share the gospel, there's only one way to do that. I mean, there's obviously variation between how one person does it to another, but there's only one gospel. And so many people have left out the two most critical pillars of that gospel, and it is repent and believe. And so many of us are just going, hey, we have a ministry and we're just going to go love on people. And I go, well, if you don't preach the gospel, you're going to love those people all the way to hell. Because the gospel is the only thing that saves. Secular love, carnal love, it does nothing outside of the gospel. And so if we really love people, we will actually preach the gospel. And I think so many people are afraid to preach the gospel. They hide behind, oh, I'm just going to love on people. I just want to wait for the right time. And, you know, I think about Paul when he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to those who believe. And we have to be unashamed of the gospel. Now, this doesn't mean that you just spring the gospel in every conversation. I know some people that do that, some evangelistically gifted individuals who do that and do that well. But we want to be willing to share the gospel in season and out of season, when it's convenient and when it's not convenient. And I want to talk to you guys about what the Bible says regarding conversion. So let's begin with Romans 10:17. We've heard this passage so many times, you should memorize it. It says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So no person will ever be born again without hearing the preached word or the written word of Christ. The key word in that passage is hearing, right? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. As you may recall, Jesus often used the phrase, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Meaning that while many people have heard the gospel audibly with their physical ears, it doesn't mean that they've actually heard it spiritually with the heart. And this is why, again, I believe we have thousands of Christians who've come to the church, but they haven't come to Christ. They have an intellectual understanding of the gospel. They know the lyrics of the classic hymns. They live a religious lifestyle of Christianity. They're moralists, right? They might even understand the theological mechanics of the Bible, but they're not alive in Christ. And this shouldn't shock anybody either. I mean, all you need to do is go to the South, and you can see how many people identify as Christian, yet they're lacking the fruit culturally of the Christian life. We've just had too many years of people confusing the physical act of coming forward to this repeat after me type prayer with the genuine spiritual act of repentance and saving faith. This easy believism has plagued America for so long. I mean, a full generation at least. But maybe even a few generations. And we are starting to see that as cultural hostility is increasing and separating the sheep and the goats and the wheat from the chaff, we're starting to see who is the genuine born-again believer and who is not. And so our desire as Christians should be longing for souls to see Christ. And there's a way to do that, and we need to look at the scriptures to understand how that process works. For a person to truly be born again, that person must hear in the heart the gospel of Jesus Christ. They must, simply believe. I should say they must not simply believe that Christ just existed, or they believe in Christ was God even, or that they believe that he was crucified. You got to remember that thousands of people saw Christ They heard his teachings. They sat there and listened to him teach. Hundreds of people witnessed his crucifixion. That doesn't make any one of those people saved. Okay, truly born again believers are made aware by the Holy Spirit of their sin in such a way that it leads first to a reverential fear of God. They feel, in a sense, convicted, or some might even describe it as condemned. They feel the weight of their sin in connection or in contrast to a holy God. That's key as a first step, is that we preach to men and women who are guilty. And when someone hears it in the heart, it produces this reverential fear of God. Second, it produces, as a result of that reverential fear, a gut-wrenching repentance of their sin, usually tears. When someone hears the gospel and they feel the weight of their sin, the fear of the Lord, and they turn and they go, "Oh Lord, I am so sorry," and they fall even to their knees and they just go, "Oh, I'm so gross, I can't believe it." Like, that spiritual awareness of their sin is really vital to a second step. The third thing is that they're going to have a clear understanding of their need for a substitute in order to stand before God when they die. They're going to have this understanding that they can't stand before God. If they do, they're condemned. If they do, they're done. They're guilty. They're going to hell. And therefore, number four also is that they need to exercise an act of trusting in Christ alone to be that righteous Savior, for Christ to earn that righteous verdict on Judgment Day that they cannot earn. They're putting everything, all of their bet, all of their trust, all of their hope, all the chips are in, everything's going on Christ. And they're just anchoring to him. That's the evidence of somebody who's experiencing true conversion. But again, how is this made known to a person? Well, it's not simply by transferring intellectual knowledge from one brain to another, right? The gospel's fallen on many deaf ears. Crowds of people have heard brilliant gospel presentations, theologically accurate gospel presentations. They've read the book of John, and they've done so without conversion. So is it that these, are just not compelling enough methods? Right? Is the gospel of John not good enough? Is it outdated? Right? Do we need to simply try harder? Are we, engage the use of better props and lights and greater methods of enticement? Should we attempt to be more persuasive? Do we need better science and facts and apologetics to get there? My thought is that no. What we need simply is to be faithful, passionate, committed men and women of the gospel message. We got to remember, it's not us who makes converts, right? I could preach to 1,000 people with a clear, concise gospel. And if God does not sovereignly open up the ears, the eyes, and the hearts of those individuals, not one person will come to faith. Not one person will be born again. And we know that he is sovereign over these matters. We know that it is him who brings us to life. But he brings us to life through his word. And I'll share with you just a few verses, and then I'll close us up here. James 1:18, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. That's how he brought us forth to life, by the word of truth. The word is the midwife to spiritual birth. Okay. It is the agent by which we are brought to life. And it says, again, James 1:18, of his own will. Not our will, but of his own will. He brought us forth by the word of truth. That purpose clause right there, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Beautiful passage there. He brought us forth of his own will. I think of John 1:12-13, but it says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Okay, it's God who brings us forth into the new birth. It's the Holy Spirit coming and bringing us to life and regeneration. And we need to remember that it's not our presentation of the gospel in terms of its theological acrobatics or our ability to be necessarily persuasive. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't compel people. But what I'm saying is that it's really about preaching the gospel, the genuine, biblical, raw gospel, faithfully, that will bring about life, spiritual life. 1 Peter 1:23 says, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding word of God. We just need to have confidence in the word's ability to bring forth new life. Hebrews 4:12-13 says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. The word is the most effective tool in your evangelism. If you want to see your sister, your biological sister, or your parents, or your friends, or your neighbors come to Christ, use the word of God. Use the word of God. Preach scripture. Preach the biblical gospel. Read your Bible in such a way that when you evangelize, you do so in a way that reflects the truths, the passages, the theology of the word of God. Memorize scripture. Recite scripture to them. Let them know what the Bible says about them. Let them read it themselves. Pull your Bible out, show them where it says it. Let the word do the heavy lifting. 1 Corinthians 1:18-24 says, for the word of the cross, that is the gospel, is folly to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved by it, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who was wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom. It's not an intellectual pursuit, people. It says, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom. But see, this passage here is telling us it's not an intellectual battle. Sure, there is study involved in accurately and faithfully preaching the gospel, especially as bigger questions come in and theological discussion happens. But I just want to encourage you that so many people leave out the basics, the repent and believe. And we've done several episodes on what is the gospel. A great book to read is by Greg Gilbert. It's a little black book from Nine Marks called What is the Gospel? But we really need to be faithful here. Lean on Scripture. Study, memorize, get yourself prepared as an evangelist, not to preach your ideas, not to convince someone that there is a God and that the Big Bang Theory isn't right and that the earth isn't this age. And that's not the gospel. Get back to the gospel. Tell them that they are a sinner under condemnation. Under condemnation of the law, that they've broken the law of a holy God. Let them feel the weight of their sin. Show them that they are in need of forgiveness. I have a sense that everybody has this feeling that we have something to be forgiven for, but we don't know who to be forgiven by. And there's all these people that ask the universe for forgiveness. Bring in these things. The guilt and shame that exists in the hearts and souls of men and women. We are seeing so many people, psychologists and therapists, that are trying to find creative ways to deal with guilt and shame for things that are sinful. Don't be ashamed of that abortion. Don't be ashamed of that sexual immorality. You be you, right? I've often said that you be you is Satan's version of God's be holy as I am holy. And so people, show them that. Let them see the weight of their sin. When you get a chance, if you listen to the audio of it or you get a chance to read it, read Jonathan Edwards' sermon called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. This is a sermon that produced revival, genuine revival. And the weight of that sermon is missing today. Let people see the reverence. Bring them to the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, says Proverbs. Let them, by God's grace, exercise repentance and faith. Pray for those souls. Even if they've rejected the gospel in your presence, pray for those souls when you leave. But whatever you do, don't just love on them and make them dinner without presenting them the gospel. Get out there, use your Bibles, and present the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hopefully that was helpful for you guys. Thank you guys again so much for joining me today and for your continued prayers for me. I am slowly improving, but it is a long journey that I'm dealing with here. So thank you for your continued support. If you guys are a regular listener to this show, you guys can please consider leaving a review. These reviews really do help the exposure of the show. And I read those reviews that people that write reviews. You don't need to write anything. You can just tap the stars. But if you do write something, I will read it. They have been very encouraging to me. Also, you can follow us on Instagram at relearn.org. You can also follow me on Twitter at Dale Partridge. And you can follow us on Facebook for at Relearn as well. And we are constantly putting out content there that is, our hope is that it's edifying and fruitful for the strengthening of the church. On that note, thank you for joining me on this episode of Real Christianity. My name is Dale Partridge, and I'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Real Christianity. If you're a regular listener to this show, would you prayerfully consider making a donation to support our ministry efforts? Simply visit relearn.org/donate. Again, that's relearn.org/donate. And for those looking to explore the idea of joining or planting a church in your home, you can download our free PDF ebook titled The Basics of Biblical House Church by visiting relearn.org/house. Lastly, do you have a theological question you would like answered on the show? Submit your question at relearn.org/question. Thanks for joining us on this episode of Real Christianity. We will see you next Wednesday.